from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo upbeat Indonesia will surpass Asian Games target. Shipmaker focuses on warship construction. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo expressed his optimism on Monday that the national team will beat its gold medal winning target of 16 in the 18th Asian Games in Jakarta and Palembang. He said the host team stood a good chance of finishing first in a number of sports other than pencaksilat such as badminton, karate, jet skiing, rock climbing, and canoeing to increase its gold medal tally. Indonesia is eyeing 16 golds to secure a top 10 finish at the continent's biggest sporting fiesta. With two more gold medals from pencaksilat competition, Indonesia ranks 5th in the provisional standing overall, with 14 gold medals behind Iran, which has a superior silver medal collection. The Transportation Ministry, in cooperation with Yogyakarta-based Gajah Mada University, will build post-disaster transitional housing for earthquake victims in Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara. Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi said on Monday, August 27, that the temporary structures which allow for a quick design and building process would be built in a cluster of 50 houses. Dean of the UGM School of Engineering Nizam said the team would combine the use of earthquake-resistant steel frames and light aluminium roofs with either woven bamboo or reused timber. Each house is estimated to take 2 days to build at a cost of 10 million rupiah, or $684.70. He added that the transitional housing would provide a better alternative to tents for the earthquake victims. The transitional design, he added, would also allow people to renovate and turn the houses into more permanent structures in the future. Under their plan, these houses will be built around Pemenang Port, which connects Lombok Island with Bali to revive tourism in the area. The government will now start the reconstruction and recovery phase in Lombok after the emergency response period ended on Saturday. State-owned shipmaker PT PAL Indonesia will focus on the construction of warships in trying to fulfill its revenue target of 2.4 trillion rupiah or $164.39 million in 2018. Last year, the company recorded 1.2 trillion rupiah in revenue. In the first half, the company only achieved 23% of the target. PT PAL Corporate Secretary Raria Budiharta said over the weekend that since PT PAL's success in delivering a strategic sea lift vessel ordered by the Philippines in May 2016, the company had received other orders for warships from several other countries. Therefore, he said the company would prioritize the construction of warships. The price of each warship ranges from $45 million to $50 million, he said, as reported by Kontan.co.id. PT PAL was now constructing several warships ordered by Senegal and the Indonesian Navy. Apart from constructing new ships, the company also carries out maintenance of warships of the Indonesian Navy. The Indonesian Embassy in Azerbaijan will hold the 2018 Indonesian Cultural Festival in Baku City, Azerbaijan on September 11 to 16. The Indonesian Ambassador to Azerbaijan, Husnan Bey Finani, was convinced that the festival, which carried the theme Keeping the Archipelago's Greatest Culture Alive, will keep strengthened bilateral relations between Indonesia and Azerbaijan. As quoted by Antara in Jakarta on Sunday, August 26, this year the event will be held in two different places, namely Haider Aliyev Sarayi, which is a prestigious building in Baku City, and Fountain Square City Walk, an outdoor shopping center which always visited by Azerbaijani people and foreign tourists. The Indonesian Cultural Festival includes cultural art performances such as music, dance, Islamic calligraphy, fashion shows, and Indonesian pencaksilat or martial art. The Indonesian Ministry of Tourism is optimistic that tourism in Lampung will be one of the 10 biggest destinations at the national tourism event. Even the tourism potential in Lampung is viewed to be able to become the best tourism destination in the world. This was conveyed by Deputy Secretary for the Industrial and Institutional Development Affairs of the Tourism Ministry, Riwut Mujirahayu, at Lampung Cultural Parade in Bandar Lampung on Sunday, August 26. As quoted by Antara, Riwut Mujirahayu said that the Ministry of Tourism targeted the number of visits will reach 17 million foreign tourists and 270 million domestic tourists in 2018. In 2019, the number will be able to reach 20 million foreign tourists and 275 million domestic tourists. According to Riwut, the development of tourism in Lampung would achieve its peak if Pentahelix could be implemented, namely the synergy of partnership in academic, business, community, government, and media field. Indonesian Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi stated that his ministry would carry out several preparatory stages in a bid to support the International Maritime Tourism event, called the 2018 Sail Moyo Tambora, to be held this September. As reported by Antara News Agency, Minister Budi Karya Sumadi, on his release when visiting Port Badas in Sumbawa Regency, West Nusa Tenggara on Sunday, told that the first stage is preparing service in navigation aspect and appropriate safety guidelines for sailing. The aspect is important to be done, considering majority of tourists will take cruise ships to attend the grand event. The next stage is providing technical needs to support the event. One of those needs is providing ships to be functioned as temporary hotels. Besides carrying out preparation for tourists who will come by ships, Indonesian Transportation Ministry is also open to receive and support tourists who will come by plane. This is supported by the facility of the Sultan Mahmud Karudin III Airport. The last item, Indonesian men's doubles badminton pair Fajar Alfian Muhammad Rian Ardianto stepped into the 2018 Asian Games finals after overthrowing world champion Li Junhui Liu Yuchen from China 21-14, 19-21, 21-13 at Senayan Sports Stadium, Jakarta on Monday, August 27. As reported by Antara, during the 47th minute semi-final match, the Indonesian pair, who are currently ranked 9th in the world, appeared to be more dominant in the first game and always leading in points collection. Fajar said the key to victory in their fifth meeting was readiness and played pressing from the start of the match. Listener, To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo upbeat Indonesia will surpass Asian Games target. Shipmaker focuses on warship construction. That was the news from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Kuatkan hatimu, berikan energi di dalam semangatmu.
Tegaklah berdiri, terbanglah kau tinggi. Inilah saatnya namamu bergema. Maknai kekalahan sebagai
you're as bright as the sun.
We deserve
commentary, comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is The Prideful Achievements of Indonesian Continents. Indonesian nation and Asian sport enthusiasts are still focusing their attention on the 2018 Asian Games. There are several days left to the end of the 18 Asian Games. A number of countries have obtained half of the 462 gold medals. The People's Republic of China dominates the achievement of gold medals. Where records had been made during the event. For example, the Japanese swimming team brought a new record at the 2018 Asian Games with 3 minutes 3.54 seconds on the 4x100m women's medley relay category. Weightlifting sport category also engraved another world record at the 2018 Asian Games. Iranian athlete Sohrat Moradi successfully lifted 189 kilograms, defeating the 188 kilogram record made by Greek athlete Akakios Kakiasvili in 1999. Indonesian people, particularly in Jakarta and Palembang, greatly expressed their attention to Indonesian athletes. Sense of pride is getting sharper in them. The pride is due to not only the success of hosting a spectacular opening ceremony inviting positive reaction from the international world, but also the achievement of gold medal approaching the targeted number, namely 16 gold medals. Until the 9th day, Sunday, 26 of August, Indonesian contingents have contributed 12 gold medals. Muhammad Sejahtera Dwi Putra also won silver medal on the shooting category. This is the best medal received by Indonesia on the shooting category since its last time in 1966. By the achievement of those medals, currently Indonesia is one of the 10 biggest countries at the event. One target has been achieved. The next one is to fulfill the target of 16 gold medals. Should Indonesia be satisfied with the number of medals it accomplished? Especially achievement has surpassed the quantity of medals obtained in 2014. At the 17th Asian Games, Indonesia could only gain 4 gold medals, 5 silver and 11 bronze medals. To strive for better results, one should not be quickly satisfied. Likewise, Indonesian continents should not be satisfied with their achievement at the 2018 Asian Games. However, at least the reports and hard work done for the past 4 years have led to progress. Until last night, Indonesia has achieved 12 gold medals, 12 silver medals, and 24 bronze medals. Indonesian continents have dedicated their best to contribute medals for Indonesia. Moreover, Indonesian continents received many supports from all other parties. Take, for example, as a tribute to Indonesian athletes, Indonesian Minister of Youth and Sport attended matches to give support for the athletes. Even President Joko Widodo also attended several final rounds. The support will ignite the spirit of Indonesian athletes to compete at the competitions. The progress achieved by Indonesian continents has encouraged the sense of pride of Indonesian people towards the organization of the 2018 Asian Games. The success of presenting a remarkable opening ceremony, being a credible host, and producing outstanding achievement will mark new history for the organization of the Asian Games. Hopefully, the achievements gained at the 18 Asian Games will encourage Indonesian athletes to foster better achievement in the future. There are still a lot of sport events that Indonesia should participate in, such as the 2020 Olympic. The remarkable achievements at the 2018 Asian Games is expected to motivate Indonesia to be better, to be the leader in Asia, just like the record established at the 1962 Asian Games when Indonesia stood at the second place. We hope Indonesian sport will continue to improve better. That was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start for an event on August 27, 1939, where the first jet plane was flown. Henkel Hey 178 was the first plane in the world which flew within the Tuberjack. The flight was conducted by Henkel, a German company led under director Ernst Henkel, who developed high-speed flight technology. The first plane flew on August 27, 1939, which was flown by Erich Worsitz. Previously, in 1936, a young engineer, Hans von Ohind, had obtained a patent for the use of a gas turbine as propulsion for jet aircraft. And the next event is that in 1990, Ali Akbar Kafet passed away. On August 27, 1990, Ali Akbar Kafet, professor in calligraphy of Iran, passed away. The artist was born in Shiraz, Iran in 1271. Since he was little boy, he had known calligraphy works and letters of nostalgic type. Gradually, Ali Akbar Kafet, along with famous artists at the time, such as Mirza Tahir Khatib Humayun, Humedain and Saiful Kusini, explored the field. Ali Akbar Kafet abdicated himself at the Association of Calligraphy Writers of Iran and educated many artists for years. And the last event is that in 1991, the independence of Moldova was declared. Republic of Moldova is a state which is located in between Romania and Ukraine in East Europe. In the period of Emperor of Russia, this territory was known with the name Bessarabia. After Revolution 1917 of Russia, Democratic Republic of Moldova was proclaimed for the modern republic united with Great Romania in 1918. On June 28, 1940, during World War II, Romania received ultimatum from the Soviet Union. Romania was forced to submit Bessarabia and North Bukovina to Soviet to avoid war. By Soviet, the territory was divided among Socialist Republic of Soviet Ukraine and Socialist Republic of Soviet Moldova. In 1991, Soviet Union broke and Moldova declared its independence on August 27, 1991. Well, listener, that was Student History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku. My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with My Indonesia. In today's edition, we will bring a topic about Indonesia keeps maintaining inflation rate 3.5%. The Indonesian government, through the National Inflation Control Team, is currently attempting to maintain the country's inflation in order to remain low this year until the following year. The Indonesian government previously had targeted the inflation rate in level 3.5% plus minus 1%. This was stated by Indonesian Financial Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati on her press statement after the high-level meeting of the National Inflation Control Team in Jakarta on Friday, August 24. Minister Sri Mulyani explained each of ministry or institution and all the stakeholders, including Bank Indonesia, have occurred and will focus on the entire components of inflation. The components include the core inflation influenced by the price of goods, the volatile food inflation, and the imported inflation or inflation influenced by the rupiah exchange rate. Sri Mulyani added the Indonesian government would continue the effort of maintaining inflation in the low level to ensure people's purchasing power. The recent meeting of the National Inflation Control Team was led by Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Darmin Nasution, as chairman of the National Inflation Control Team, and attended by Governor of Bank Indonesia Perry Warjio, Indonesian Finance Ministry Sri Mulyani, and Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolukito. Meanwhile, Governor of Bank Indonesia Perry Warjio ensured the impacts of the rupiah exchange rate's impediment can still be controlled. Perry explained three factors supporting the matter. First, the impediment of the rupiah exchange rate since the beginning of year until at present or year to date is 7% relatively lower than other countries. Secondly, the domestic supply is higher than the demand of goods. Thirdly, the expectation of inflation is calculated and measured well according to the target which has been set previously by the Indonesian government, namely 3.5%. Furthermore, Perry said that Bank Indonesia continuously stabilized the rupiah through several ways. Among them is by increasing the 7-day reverse repo rate. The increase of the 7-day reverse repo rate is expected to support the foreign capital flow to fulfill the financial market in Indonesia. Currently, according to Perry, the flow of foreign capital in the state securities for long-term investment has been registered. Not only by increasing the 7-day reverse repo rate, Perry also told that Bank Indonesia also carried out double intervention in foreign currency market while purchasing state securities from secondary market. That was My Indonesia for today's edition. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news in brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo expressed his optimism on Monday that the national team will beat its gold medal winning target of 16 in the 18th Asian Games in Jakarta and Palembang. The Transportation Ministry, in cooperation with Yogyakarta-based Gajah Mada University, will build post-disaster transitional housing for earthquake victims in Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara. State-owned shipmaker PT PAL Indonesia will focus on the construction of warships in trying to fulfill its revenue target of 2.4 trillion rupiah or $164.39 million in 2018. The Indonesian Embassy in Azerbaijan will hold the 2018 Indonesian Cultural Festival in Baku City, Azerbaijan, on September 11 to 16. The Indonesian Ambassador to Azerbaijan, Husnan Bey Fanani, was convinced that the festival, which carried the theme "Keeping the Archipelago Greatest Culture Alive," will keep strengthen bilateral relations between Indonesia and Azerbaijan. The Indonesian Ministry of Tourism is optimistic that tourism in Lampung will be one of the 10 biggest destinations at the National Tourism Event. Indonesian Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi stated that his ministry would carry out several preparatory stages in a bid to support the International Maritime Tourism Event called the 2018 Siel Moyo Tambora to be held this September. Indonesian men's doubles badminton pair Fajar Alfian Muhammad Rian Ardianto stepped into the 2018 Asian Games finals after overthrowing world champion Li Junhui Liu Yuchen from China 21-14, 19-21, 21-13 at Senayan Sports Stadium, Jakarta on Monday, August 27. Listener, that was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. Listeners, this is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Indonesian Wonder. Today, we will introduce you about the Dutch Cave in West Java Province, Indonesia. Stay tuned in to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Listeners, West Java Province, particularly Bandung, has abundant tourism potentials ranging from culinary, nature to historical tourism. Not only gifted with picturesque landscape, Bandung is also home to many historical sites. One of them is the Dutch Cave located in the area of Juanda Forest Park. Listeners, the Dutch Cave is an historical remaining from the Dutch occupation in Indonesia, which used to serve as a tunnel for a hydropower plant. During the Dutch occupation, precisely in 1918, the first hydropower plant in Indonesia, so-called the Bangkok Hydropower Plant, was built. Inside the tunnel of this hydropower plant, there are 15 pathways and several rooms, such as bedrooms for the Dutch soldiers to sleep, interrogation room, and detention room. The Dutch Cave is 144 meters long. Besides being functioned for military activities, the Dutch Cave was used as a Dutch radio station established as the center of communication for the Dutch soldiers. The establishment of the radio was done to prevent resistance against the Dutch soldiers. Listeners, after the independence of Indonesia, the cave was ever utilized as arsenal by Indonesian soldiers. On January 14, 1985, the Dutch Cave was made as a tourism object and became a tourism destination for both domestic and foreign tourists. To reach the Dutch Cave located at Juanda Forest Park, you can use your own motor vehicles and pay the parking fees, 5,000 rupiah for motorcycle and 10,000 rupiah for car. However, you can also take public transportation to get to Juanda Forest Park located in Dago Pakar. After arriving at the entrance gate of the forest park, you can walk around 1 kilometer to reach the Dutch Cave. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder about the Dutch Cave in West Java. See you tomorrow with more interesting topic.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is ke dokter, or in English, seeing a doctor. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about ke dokter, or in English, seeing a doctor. Tony is sick. He is brought by Joko to see a doctor. At a registration counter, Tony is asked about his identity by the officer.
Anda mau berobat ke dokter umum atau dokter gigi?
Dokter umum.
Siapa nama Anda?
Nama saya Tony Hatfield.
Umur?
28 tahun.
Anda WNA?
Iya.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some expressions related to the topic today, ke dokter, in English, seeing the doctor. I'll say each word slowly and twice, you can follow after me. Anda mau berobat ke dokter umum atau ke dokter gigi? Anda mau berobat ke dokter umum atau ke dokter gigi, in English? Do you want to see a general practitioner or a dentist? Dokter umum. Dokter umum. In English, general practitioner. Dokter gigi. Dokter gigi. In English, dentist. Siapa nama Anda? Siapa nama Anda? In English, what is your name? Berapa umur Anda? Berapa umur Anda? In English, how old are you? 28 tahun. 28 tahun. In English, 28 years. Anda warga negara asing? Anda warga negara asing? In English, are you foreign citizen? Warga negara Indonesia. Warga negara Indonesia. In English, Indonesian citizen. When you register for treatment, you are required to fill registration form about your identity and the officer will ask you about the matter. In addition to the identity, the officer will also ask you about the doctor you will be directed. If there are only two doctors in the clinic, such as general practitioner and dentist, the officer will ask you, Anda mau berobat ke dokter umum atau dokter gigi? In English, do you want to see a general practitioner or dentist? You may answer the question by saying, Saya mau ke dokter umum. Saya mau ke dokter umum. In English, I want to see a general practitioner. For examples, Saya mau ke dokter gigi. Saya mau ke dokter gigi. In English, I want to see a dentist. Saya mau ke dokter mata. Saya mau ke dokter mata. In English, I want to see an oculist. Saya sakit perut. Saya sakit perut. I have stomach ache. Saya mau ke dokter nanti malam. Saya mau ke dokter nanti malam. In English, I want to see a doctor this evening. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's follow again the conversation.
Anda mau berobat ke dokter umum atau dokter gigi?
Dokter umum.
Siapa nama Anda?
Nama saya Tony Hatfield.
Umur?
28 tahun.
Anda WNA?
Iya.
Now I'll give you an exercise by mentioning the name, profession, the place for work, the day, office hour, and etc. For example, nama saya Andi, saya seorang wartawan, saya bekerja di Surat Kabar Sinar Pagi, saya bekerja dari Senin sampai Jumat, mulai pukul 8 pagi sampai pukul 4 sore. Jam istirahat saya mulai pukul 12 sampai dengan pukul 1 siang. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa! Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. On this edition, I will present Kroncong music, sung by Indonesian talented singer Hetikus Endang. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Cinta Kita. Happy listening.
Demi cintaku padamu, kemana pun ikut denganmu, walaupun harus ku terjang lautan bara. Jiwa dan raga.
Cinta Kita by Hetikus Endang. She is an Indonesian singer whose ability is undoubted. Cinta Kita is a pop rock genre song and was popularized by Inka Christie and Malaysian singer Ami Search in 1990. The song tells about two people with their deep love so that they are willing to sacrifice anything for their love. The song is later repackaged and sung in Kroncong genre. The combination of lyric, music, and Hetikus Endang's strong vocal character makes this song almost sound perfect. The two singers whose vocal characters are strong can amaze the music lovers with the song Cinta Kita. Well, listener, let's listen to another song, Mahameru. Happy listening.
Wahai kau perwira,
That was the song Mahameru by Hetikus Endang. Unlike the previous song, Mahameru is the original Kroncong music. It tells the beauty and splendor of Mahameru, precisely Mount Semeru Peak, which is one of the mountain peaks in Indonesia. Hetikus Endang entertains the music lovers again, specifically Kroncong music, with the song Mahameru. During her career in Indonesian music world, she has produced a series of albums with various genres. Likewise, she has received various awards on singing not only in Indonesian, but also in regional and international level. She sings various genres well, for instance, pop, dangdut, regional songs, and kroncong. The next song is Kaulah Segalanya by Hetikus Endang. The song was popularized by an Indonesian pop singer, Ruth Sahanaya, in 1991. Well, listener, let's enjoy the last song, Kaulah Segalanya, by Hetikus Endang. Happy listening.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.